How fantastic. So that was Brian Ford singing here on With Chat on Radio Wivenhoe. That was a Tom Paxton song,
Last Thing on My Mind, yeah.
So any particular reason for choosing or any history behind that at all, Brian?
Tom Paxton is a contemporary of Dylan. His stuff is a bit more accessible, I think. Much easier to understand. It's just a sort of song of lost love. I just enjoy singing it, really. Fairly straightforward, nice to sing, and people join in. People know it.
And possibly easier, I imagine, than Dylan to actually remember all the lyrics.
Exactly, yes.
And get a bit rambling.
Yes.
Hopefully not rambling. We're going to carry on the conversation here. So my guest on With Chat this week on Radio Wivenhoe is Brian Ford. And we've discussed already a lot more about Brian's involvement in the area, so certainly in Oldsford, and then his wanderings into Wivenhoe, which led him towards the folk club, and some of the many, many fine tunes we've been hearing. Other people might know Brian. I think Brian has these many hats that he wears. So people might also know Brian or recognise the name with the pantomime group. And that is certainly, I think, where I first came across Brian's name. The pantomime last year was written by Brian. So let's try and think about a starting point here. So what was your entry level into the crazy world, and it really is a crazy world, of Wivenhoe pantomime, please, Brian?
As I've always liked the idea of performing, and I did a little bit as a teenager, but then got married and children and career and all the rest of it. There wasn't time. Then the children grew up, left home, and I had a little bit of time, so I had a friend who was in the pantomime group. So I went along and auditioned, and it seemed totally crazy, as I say, and I got a part. I was Snow White's father in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, as a doddery old fool, the ancient king who never knows what's going on. That's usually the part I play. So, basically, that's where it started.
And when was the first time? Can we actually date a year when you officially had any
involvement? No, I can't. It was in the 1990s, but I can't remember exactly when, to be honest with you.
And the same kind of question with the folk club. Do you know anything about the history of the pantomime group? So I guess a lot of it's passed on in conversation. But has this been a
relatively new thing? Started a few years before. I mean, the same sort of names come up, Peter Kerr and so on, that had started the pantomime group a few years before I came in. So it'd be going about 5-6 years, something like that.
And it does seem for people that it's this wonderful thing which happens. It's the kind of post-Christmas period. Everyone's in a lull and no money. They want to be enjoyed, go out, and think, oh, it's that time of year again. It's a Wivenhoe pantomime time. They must have been rehearsing since just before Christmas. That's not the case, is it?
No, it starts in September. The rehearsal, the auditions are in September. The rehearsal one starts soon afterwards. And it's twice a week. Yes, it's quite a long slog, quite a lot of work, because a pantomime, unlike a lot of plays, has got a large cast. It's not only got acting, it's got singing, and if we can manage it, dancing as well. So, yes, there's a lot to put together, plus, if you can, really bright costumes and special effects. Bangs and rapid scene changes, stuff like that. So, yes, it's quite a complicated thing to put together.
Especially when it's being staged within the splendour but the confines of the Loveless Hall.
So I will make no real comment about that. I mean, the Loveless Hall stage has its limitations, shall we say.
So those cascading waterfalls and those...
Well, that's right. You can't really have too much descending from above. And yes, it's a nice little stage, and we do have an extension, but yes, obviously there's not a lot of backstage area and so on.
But you mentioned September time, Brian, when the rehearsals first come. But to rehearse, you need a script.
Yes.
Now, the script is not written in September. Now, I know from my little vague research that you wrote last year the script for Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes.
So at what time of the year would have you had started getting a few thoughts for that?
Probably as the previous one finished. It doesn't always work out like that. But I'm not totally involved now, but when I was involved, when we were on the committee and so on, we used to like to more or less know who was writing the script soon after one pantomime finished. So about February, March, and I would sort of mull it over and probably start putting pen to paper in about April, hopefully have it finished by sort of June, because then you can show it to the director or the producer, maybe the stage manager, talk through the special effects, and the stage manager might say, well, you can't do that, or whatever. Or, in a more positive way, oh, look, we could do this, should we try this, and so on, yeah. So yes, yeah, so that you know, and everybody's looked at it, so that by the time you come to rehearse, the script is doable. Doesn't always work, but that's the ideal.
And it's a very, very professional script. And so, you know, I'm interested, Brian, in as to what is your background in this. Is it through your kind of love of writing and your ability with this? Is this through your teaching background and just being creative in general?
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, teaching is creative. I've always enjoyed writing. I do a little bit of writing poetry and stuff like that, and so on, and writing a few songs for folk club. Yeah, I've always enjoyed comedy. So put all that together, I really love writing pantomime scripts.
So for something such as Jack and the Beanstalk, yes. What is the brief that you're given? Are you given literally a pantomime name and told to go away and come up with something?
Up to generally speaking, up to now as a scriptwriter, I've chosen which one I want to do. What we try and do is not do one that's been done recently. I mean, we've now probably run through all the main ones, so we are repeating. I mean, we've done Jack and the Beanstalk, I think. Actually, they'd done it before I arrived, so that was some years ago. So yes, we've run through all the main ones. We're probably sort of into repeats now. We have repeated one or two, yeah.
And stories such as Jack and the Beanstalk, yes. or this year's pantomime, which is Robin Hood. Yeah, they're well-established stories, yep. And it would be so easy just to follow that linear story as to what happens. But that is not at all what you do. So although with Jack and the Beanstalk, you do start off with a family which needs, yep, some food. A beanstalk is involved, a cow,
yep,
a giant is. But that isn't really the story, and so...
No, you've got the bare bone. I mean, I always go back and look at the original fairy story or folk story, read different versions, because you can get different bits. There are all sorts of different versions, some of which are very adult, so you've got to cut out some bit, you know. I read the original. Then I saw a lovely website called It's Behind You, a guy who's really keen on pantomime. So I have a quick look at that, see what other groups have done with the story, and then sit down and think, how's it going to work within the constraints of Wivenhoe, Loveless Hall, within the constraints of an amateur group. So you don't want to give any one actor or actress a huge amount of lines set on stage all the time. You want to give everybody a little bit of slice of the cake, but you don't want too many parts, because we're often a bit short of actors. And you want some parts for children, because children like, yeah, so you put all that together, and you've got obviously stock characters. You've got the dame, you've got a villain which needs to be scary, but not too scary. You've got the principal boy, principal girl, so you've usually got the doddering old fool. You've got the principal boy's sidekick. So somehow you've got to put as many of those together as you can, and then flesh it out with comedy routines, silly jokes, song. I mean, I actually don't write the songs. I leave that to the musical director to pick songs. But I sort of suggest where they might go, but he may or may not do that. But she's fine, because that's his job. And then I sit down and make myself write it.
And what I think really, really works, so all those ingredients that you mentioned, Brian, certainly are very, very worthy. But it is such a local pantomime script.
Yes.
So it's packed full of Wivenhoe references.
Yes.
Is that quite a conscious, yes, decision when you're writing?
Yes. What I tend to do is write the script, and if there's any Wivenhoe references that come to me as I go along, I'll put them in. But then I'll go back and think, well, where can I put in a local reference? Or also, where can I put in that It's Behind You? Or, oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is routines, you know. So they get, to a certain extent, added in. And then, you know, actors themselves will add in bits. Because if you're writing it in June for the following January, a topical reference falls pretty flat 6 months later. So, yeah.
And I think people think of pantomime as being very knockabout, almost Punch and Judy. But I would imagine as a scriptwriter, it is quite a delicate process because, well, all these local references, you're going to offend somebody if you're not careful.
Well, that's right. You have to be... It's got to be taken as good fun. You don't want to go over the top and really insult people nastily. That's not what it's about. It's family entertainment. And yes, in a sense, local public figures, you know, must expect not quite to be ridiculed, but to have a bit of fun made of them. And I think that's okay.
So it's probably quite hard knowing what the boundaries are, and
it is, and I would always err on the safe. So you don't want to upset people. That's not the fun. We're not a satire. We're not a biting satire. That's not what it's for.
but also for the mix of the audience, which is right from, you know, the Broomgrove Millfields kids,
exactly.
So
yes.
5 year olds, up into, well, on the Friday night performance, it's a pub crowd and they want,
yes,
something a bit more racy.
Yes.
Now, how on earth to try and gauge something that the kids are going to find, oh, that's very, very lovely. And then, I wouldn't say filthy jokes, but certainly, you know, courgette marrow-based jokes get placed, yes, in there.
Innuendo is fine, but I mean, we are always aware this family show will put nothing in that is openly offensive, I hope. You never know. You get inappropriate laughs. And what was funny about that? And somebody's felt there's a double meaning there, which you actually didn't put in. But there you go. No, we try not to. To be honest, I mean, yes, the innuendo is fine, but nothing openly. What am I saying? Filthy. You just have to accept that a lot of it will go over the head of children. I mean, the matinee is interesting because there's children running around. Half the jokes they don't get, they will then laugh at something you thought, well, that wasn't a joke at all. But there you go. Yes, you just have to sort of, to a certain extent, steer a middle way. And oddly enough, slapstick is the most difficult thing to do. Because you can put it in, but without criticising amateur actors, slapstick is very difficult to do convincingly.
It's very,
you really do need clowning skills, which most of us haven't got. So you end up with simple things like, you know, somebody hitting someone, they duck, and they hit someone else. And you know, a sword fight, to look convincing, has to be choreographed terribly exactly, and that takes ages, so you don't do too much that.
But with no pantomime, I think, Brian, is very good at unearthing talent.
Yes.
And so it isn't, well, it's obviously your own script writing, there's music as well involved, but also with the actors and also the young kids. And so,
yes,
it's almost some progression into any form of local dramatics.
Well, that's it, yes. I mean, I'm very pleased that some of the youngsters who have started off with us have gone on to do adult amateur things. One or two have even gone in to be some professional stuff and so on. Yeah, yeah.
And you must find it yourself very, very rewarding, because that's why you continue with your...
It's lovely. I mean, it's the script writing I really enjoy. I mean, I enjoy performing, but as time goes by, you get more and more of a problem learning the lines, to be honest, you know. So, yes, I mean, you can create a little world which people enjoy and hopefully make them a bit happier in the middle of winter, and that's nice.
And how do you feel then on the evening? And so... Your script writing has come pretty much full circle, and it must seem a long, long time away, yes, from when you first sat down and writing,
yes,
stuff, and it's biting cold outside,
yeah,
and people are in the Loveless Hall with their mittens on.
Yeah.
And it's out of your hands then, so what,
yes,
you've written has been passed on,
yes,
and maybe not changed much, but it's taken on its life of its own.
Yes.
Can you sit there and enjoy it, or do you sit there with a critical mind working over every line and thinking about next year's or future scripts?
Both. I think, yes, I do enjoy it, I have to say. I mean, if I didn't think I was doing at least a reasonable job, I wouldn't bother, you know. So, yes, and I think most people enjoy it, let's say. But, yes, you always look and think, oh, yes, I could have done that better. Or, oh, well, I could have put that in or whatever. Yes, you've always got in the back of your mind things that could be done better. And I'm looking at my earlier scripts. Yeah, I hope that I've improved over the years.
Okay, so if we just maybe wrap up and get some plugs in for this year's,
yes,
pantomime. So it is
Robin Hood,
as we mentioned, and writing the script for this year has been...
Hazel Humphreys.
So Hazel's involved.
Yes, of the comedy club, yes.
Yeah, and she had the lead role in last year's Jack
and the Beanstalk. That's right, yes.
Yeah. Obviously, very, very early days. I know auditions took,
yeah,
place a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But is there anything you can give away, or anything to look out for that you know of, any inside information?
It's a very good script, let me just say that. I mean, you know, Hazel and I, you know, Hazel very kindly asked me to have a quick look at it, and it's a super script. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
And do we know yet what the dates are for performing?
We do, but I can't remember. It's always mid-January.
Second, third week or so.
Second, third week. Look out for the posters.
There'll be plenty of publicity.
And get your seats, yes. I mean, the matinee always sells out, the Saturday evening and Friday evening sell out. So, if you're in doubt, go for early in the week.
Okay, well, I think we're coming towards the end of this particular broadcast, and I start off with the aims of not knowing what we were going to talk about, where to go. I had a few rough guiders, and I've been enlightened. So Brian, my guest for this week, Brian Ford, has been talking a bit about the difference between Alsford and Wivenhoe life, and then Wivenhoe and the whole folk club, his involvement there, and the pantomime, which I think Brian has put a huge, tremendous contribution to the town over the years, and I think it's very, very much valued. Certainly, you know, around that post-Christmas lull. We need to finish, if that's okay, with one more song, Brian.
Right.
So, Rochelle.
Let's do a rousing Irish one to finish, shall we?
Please do.
This is called Spanish Lady. It's about lost youth and lost love.
I went down to Dublin City at the hour of 12 at night. Who should I spy but a Spanish lady washing her feet by candlelight? First she washed them, then she dried them over a fire amber coals. In all my life I ne'er did see a maid so sweet about the soul. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. As I went down to Dublin City at the hour of 8:30, who should I spy but a Spanish lady brushing her hair in broad daylight? First she brushed it, then she tossed it, on her lap was a silver comb. In all my life I ne'er did see a maid so sweet since I did roam. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. As I went down to Dublin City, as the sun began to set, who should I spy but a Spanish lady catching a moth in a golden net? When she saw me, then she fled me, lifting a petticoat over her knees. In all my life I ne'er did see a maid so sweet as a Spanish lady. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. I've wandered north and I've wandered south by Stony Batter and Patrick's Close, up and around the Gloucester Diamond and round by Nappert and his house. All ages laid its hands on me, cold as a fire of ashy coals, but where is the lovely Spanish lady, neat and sweet about the soul? Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay. Whack from a turralurralady, whack from a turralurralay.
Wonderful. And so Brian Ford, he came into the With Chat Studio Straight Kitchen with his guitar, saying, "I'm not really a guitarist, I can only play three chords." And there we have evidence that is certainly not the case. And so if you did enjoy that, then I think let's get some of these mentions in again. You can see Brian most months at the Wivenhoe Folk Club, up towards the flag, the third Thursday.
First.
The first, I do apologise, the first Thursday of each month. And we had the pantomime chat as well, and we're flicking through to get some dates.
6th of October.
6th of October is what it's going to be. I've really enjoyed that, Brian, so thank you so much. That's been my guest for this week, Brian Ford, talking a bit more about Alresford, the Folk Club and the pantomime. And if you wanted yourself to be put forward for this experience, you needn't own a guitar, it's perfectly fine to come here and being a musical novice such as myself. But it's as simple as emailing me. It's jason@radiowivenhoe.co.uk, and we can talk about anything at all that's local for you. If you've got some stories to tell, please do step forward and we can maybe share those. Okay, so thank you to Brian, and thank you one more time for listening to the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason. That's great.